Right now, I want to welcome to the program Commander U.S. Navy retired Beth Coy, who served 21 years as a U.S. Navy line officer and served three tours in intelligence and as a commanding officer. After her military service, Commander Coy served on the board of Service Members Legal Defense Network and was editor and publisher of the book My Navy Too, focusing on the issue of minorities in the U.S. military. Commander Coy, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome, Scott. I'm glad to be here and talk with you.
Well, it's a happy occasion here in the celebration I know is going on around the country among activists who work very long and hard for a repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that barred gays and lesbians from openly serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. President Obama, after the Senate passed this bill on Saturday, is set to sign the bill, the repeal law, into law this Wednesday, as I hear it. And Commander Coy, maybe you could give us your initial reaction after this thing is now real. It's happened.
Well, Scott, Saturday was a very special, momentous day in my life and the lives of many Americans. And they may not quite realize it yet either, but I woke up very early, and my very own Senator Ron Wyden was on early at 6:30 our time, 9:30 your time, and he spoke, and a couple hours later, we had the cloture vote, 61 to 35, I think, and right after the cloture vote, I got two calls, one from my sister and the second one from Senator Ron Wyden, and of course, I cried because he and I have worked hard together through the years, at least 6-7 years as I've worked with SLD and Service Members Legal Defense Network and going back to their lobby days and then working especially in the state of Oregon and writing op-eds and so forth. So it was almost hard, it's still hard to believe in that, as you said, I was in the Navy for 21 years, but I was also a Navy junior, as we say. My dad was career naval officer and a submariner. And therefore, I spent several years, at least four or five, one right after the World War II, and then more later on when my dad, this was in the 50s, my dad was at New London, at Groton, the submarine base, and he had a division there, a submarine division, and then he commanded the Fulton, USS Fulton, and subtender right there across in next to New London. I went to both Groton, Fitch High School, and then New London High School. So I have a fond space in my heart for Connecticut.
Well, we have a shout-out from you, I know, from a lot of people who are listening out in Groton, New London, and all those towns out there. Yeah.
Yes, well, as I say, I joined the Navy for real as a naval officer in 1960, and that's exactly 50 years ago, would you believe? And after toward the end of 1960, I surprisingly, to myself, fell in love with a naval officer, and it was a woman. I went through a lot of struggles in those days. The culture, our American culture, was so very different about, you know, the issue of gays and lesbians. And so, it's, as I say, it's been 50 years, and 21 of those, I was a closeted lesbian and had quite a history there that we can go into if you wish. But because of that experience when I retired in 1980, during that time I was always an activist for women in the military and helped women get aboard ship and fly airplanes in my own studious way. I'm a kind of an intellectual type, Wellesley College graduate, and I did a lot of work for women in the Navy, and then later on upon retirement, especially after 1993 when we had the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law instituted, I said to myself, I've just got to do something. You know, it's just in my heart, I've got to come out and work on this. So I did. I was a founding member of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, which has been one of the leading gay and lesbian organizations to work through this. And we started off as more a group of lawyers working and to help the young men and women who were caught in the middle of this difficult law, shall we say, and then became, in the last 4 or 5 years, a lobby group. So I worked with that extensively. And further, I in the last year, have been working with what's called the Forum on Military Chaplaincy. It's a very interesting group and important group because, as some of your listeners may know, especially if they've served in the military, we have approximately 3,000 chaplains. And I used to go to Navy chapels as a growing up as a Navy junior and Protestant Navy chapels. And this has been a marvelous experience for me to serve on this forum with mostly retired military chaplains and mostly, shall we say, the more moderate progressive denominations. And through them, I realized that it's very, very difficult for some of the evangelicals who cannot, and both the members as well as the chaplains, who have a hard time getting in touch with how they're going to work with the gay and lesbian population now in the military. So that's been an interesting experience. I'd be glad to talk more, if you wish, about that. By the way, the three chiefs of chaplains, Army, Navy, Air Force, are all evangelical. And so that was very hard for them, and they could not support repeal just because of their religious beliefs. And I understand that. But they still need to, of course, as chaplains, serve all the personnel, all the military. So I worked on that, and then the last year, as you mentioned, I was on Military Outreach Committee, which was all about 100 of us military gay and lesbian vets, former and retirees, and we thought it was very important to get personal stories to the Pentagon Study Group because they didn't have any, they couldn't, of course, have any active duty gays and lesbians serving on the study. They couldn't be out. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to tell our stories. So they did ask through SLDN, they had been working with our group, Military Outreach Committee, and some other vets. And I was the editor, and it was kind of my brainstorm, a group of, I asked for letters. We got 37. And if your audience is interested, you can Google, We Are Family Too. We Are Family Too. And it's, if you read only five of these letters, you'll see that it's a shame that our country has chosen for how many years to have this law. Because when I was in, of course, we didn't have Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We had something that was very similar. If I had been discovered to be a lesbian, then I immediately would have to submit my resignation. So it was not that different, really.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking tonight with Beth Coy, Commander, U.S. Navy, retired, and talking about the victory for advocates of the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell rule, the policy in the U.S. military. And Commander Coy, I've read that you resigned in 1980 over building frustration, over not being able to be honest about who you were and your sexuality. And then certainly added to that was the fact that as commanding officer, you had to sign the discharge papers for 8 sailors for being gay.
Absolutely. It was, if you can imagine, and this is what Admiral Mullen was saying, it's a matter of your personal integrity. You know, here I was sitting behind the desk. This was over a period of 2.5 years, and 8 was the figure I came up with. It might have been 10. I know it was quite a few young men and women, not all at once, you know, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and so forth. And so I just, it was very difficult, Scott, to just, you know, smile and say, wish them luck and so forth. But it was also hypocritical. And I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I just know I can't. And I, as a matter of fact, by that time, I came out to my parents, was 41 years old, and I came out to my parents that year before. And that was an interesting, and that was one of the most difficult things I ever have done in my life. But Dad, by now he was a retired admiral in Coronado, California, Dad counseled me very seriously that he felt I should not get out of the Navy. He said, Beth, you will be a captain, as did my detailer say, it looks like you're going to make captain. And furthermore, who knows, you'll be the first lady admiral. Well, I don't know about that, Dad. I'm too political. But I would have made captain, and he just was kind of heartbroken, I think. He was hoping that I would stay in, but I told him it was too hard on my soul. I could not do it anymore. Furthermore, another tipping point for me was that my boss, my captain, I was commander, he was commander NTC, Naval Training Center in San Diego. I had learned through a senior chief petty officer who walked into my office one day and said, "Commander, I just must tell you that the captain has asked me to tail you." And my heart dropped. You know, I couldn't believe this. And he said, you know, because you live with two women, I was not in any relationship at that time, because you live with two women, he suspects you might be a lesbian and blah, blah, blah. So I, among all those, you know, by that time I said, this is not going to be my life anymore. And it was a heartbreaking decision for me, but I did it. And now today, or Saturday for the first time, I really do feel as if I can say I'm part of the Navy family, you know, and it's a wonderful feeling.
Well, congratulations to all you and your colleagues for
yes.
such hard work that paid off finally here after many, many years, decades. Commander Coy, mm-hmm. I had read that when you were growing up, you were stationed with your father, a Navy Rear Admiral, as you talked uh-huh. about, in the Panama Canal Zone. And one of your playmates was Senator John McCain, whose parents were also stationed there. Uh-huh. Tell us about John McCain. How do you read Senator McCain's opposition to the bitter end here against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? He was certainly very aggressively opposed. Why, do you think?
I know. Well, let me just say, you had the story almost right. I was 4 and John McCain was 5 down there in Panama. This was just before the war broke out, and my mother tells that story because she was good friends with John McCain's mother, Roberta. And Dad at that time, I think, was a lieutenant commander. But anyway, yes, I followed John McCain through his career, especially as a politician, since I'm a political science professor type, by the way, I was for 6 or 8 years. And so I follow politics deeply. And how do I explain it? I think there's several facets to John McCain. He represents the conservative voice, which we've heard through of the military. We've heard that through the four service chiefs who have real reservations about this repeal. They did have, and now they must not have. They have to move on. But that is the military, the Navy, I know, and all the other services are just, the Navy might be more liberal than some of the other services, but the military has a conservative view, and I used to be an organization development consultant. We called it the RC factor, resistance to change. You know, it's very hard for these individuals to bring about, you know, really think differently. But I also, having thought about this a lot and written, I think it has to do with a perspective that the New York Times had the right adjective today, and I have a new word now. It's called benighted, with not a K, but benighted, N-I-G-H-T, and it has to do with intellectual, social, or moral darkness, and or unenlightened. And I think that John McCain's just have a very difficult time, especially with this particular issue of gays, and certainly I've talked to many, many, many folks through my years as I have come out, but they have a difficult time listening or hearing what we're saying. And if John McCain if his daughter Meghan had been a lesbian, I have a feeling he might have felt differently, although Vice President Cheney didn't feel differently, and he had a lesbian daughter. But so many times, as you know, Scott, if you as a parent, a niece, if you have a niece or a nephew or a son or a daughter, it immediately gives you a different feeling once you listen to them and you get more comfortable with what this means to be gay or lesbian. And the reality is, as we know, I am just as you are, or other, you know, straight people. I just happen to be born this way, and I know that. I'm also left-handed. I was born that way, so I fought it for a long, long time. Nowadays, the young people aren't fighting it. They're just saying, hey, this is who I am, and it's no big deal to most people under 30, maybe even under 40, but John McCain is 74. I'm 73, and it's very, very hard for him, and it's I don't know. I don't quite get it, because his wife and his daughter have spoken with him, I'm sure. But he also has that conservative base, you know, political base that he needs to have support from, and maybe that's all part of it. What do you think? Don't you think? I think those are all some of the reasons myself.
Yeah, you know,
John McCain. It's hard to see him this way because I'm an admirer of him. My dad voted for him when he was in the primary, and he loves Johnny McCain, he used to call him. But dad now has passed away, of course. But I don't know. So I understand the view. It's frustrating, and I will continue to talk to my conservative friends in the military, and hopefully they will come along. So I think it has to do with the blinders that I wrote about, that he wears proudly, you know. He seems to be very proud of this view.
Yeah, it seems like his politics change now, you know, with his finger in the wind. He seems to be very not too skilled at changing positions here and there on a whole host of issues, but...
I agree, Scott. And don't you think, one of my friends, by the way, at San Diego Human Resource Management Center, we were both team leaders together, is Captain Phil Butler, retired. And Phil was a POW for more years, I think another year, than John McCain. And Phil has written about his friend John McCain and cannot understand his position, you know. And I don't know. It also could be, I shouldn't, you know, you just speculate, but... 6.5 years or whatever he was, that can wear upon you both mentally and physically, and that may be part of it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But that's some of my, as I try to analyze it, that's some where I come from.
Well, this is Counterpoint, and we're very happy to have on the air with us tonight Commander, U.S. Navy, retired Beth Coy, and we're talking about the victory of opponents of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was repealed in a Saturday Senate vote. It's going to be signed into law this Wednesday by President Obama. Certainly a big victory for the advocates of repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But through the debate, there was a lot of discussion of unit cohesion, and there were surveys saying that frontline troops on active duty in a combat zone were more likely to oppose repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And in fact, Marine Corps Commandant General James Amos criticized repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell as somehow being a distraction, and possibly, he intimated, cause Marines' legs to be blown off through the distraction. How do you respond to some of these things that were thrown up during the debate?
Well, my persona says that, again, General Amos... just is not in touch with his younger Marines. I've been talking with several people in the last couple of days, including by radio, as we are now, interview, and some are young Marines who are gay and have gotten out, and he's just not in touch with how it is, even in, you know, over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I'm sure you've heard these young men, Marines, talk about it. Brian Fricke is one of our spokesmen, and Sergeant Marine, gay, and I think that the general hasn't gone really and spoken with fully with the troops. But I, again, it's an attitude, and he may never change his attitude, but I'd like to read you, if you will, the General Amos's statement to his corps right now. This is important, I think, for your audience to realize. Once we've made this decision, once the law was repealed on Saturday, the whole image, the whole view changes, and he will march forward smartly. Here's a quote from General Amos. Fidelity is the essence of the United States Marine Corps. Above all else, we are loyal to the Constitution, our Commander-in-Chief, Congress, our chain of command, and the American people. The House of Representatives and Senate have voted, blah, blah, blah. As stated during my testimony... during the hearings, I and the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, that's the top enlisted person, will personally lead this effort, thus ensuring the respect and dignity due all Marines. On this matter, we look forward to further demonstrating to the American people the discipline and loyalty that have been the hallmark of the United States Marine Corps for over 235 years. So, you know... when we were integrating African Americans, Scott, into the Navy, it took a while. It wasn't an overnight thing. And I worked with that in the 70s. We started with phase one, which was kind of an attitudinal sit around and talk in workshops that did not work. You know, we were, you know, trying to convince senior people that this is the way it was. But finally, phase two was, this is the behavior we expect of you. And now you do this. And psychologists would say that can work just as effectively as trying to change an attitude, perhaps better in the case of the military. We have rules and regulations. This is what we expect you to do. And it turns out that when those behaviors are demonstrated and you commit to that, you change your attitude eventually. So that's a terribly important point, I think. And I think, who knows, General Amos may never change his mind. I don't know. He must be the late 50s or 60, and perhaps he won't change his mind. I don't know, but he now has to implement what the American people have said they wanted, 70%, and now the legislators and the government has said this is what we're going to do. Wonderful. It's just, again, it's hard for me to believe.
Right, but, right. Commander Coy, in your view, will there be some difficulties in implementing this policy, and especially given some of the prejudice that's out there in the ranks of the military? Do you fear that when people are open about their sexuality, that there could be a lot more cases of blatant discrimination that take place?
I thought about that, Scott, and I go back to when we integrated women and African Americans, and yes, you hit it, you nail on the head. It is about prejudice, and there's certainly, it's there, but the reality is, the Pentagon study showed that probably only 15% of the gays and lesbians on active duty in the military are going to come out. If I were in right now, by the way, I would not come out. I would just talk to my friends, but I wouldn't come out to my boss. You know, just that's not who I am. And most, I think the large majority will not, at least in the first couple of years. So that's one factor. And another factor is the military is terrific in training and education. And I know that already through that study, one of the four pieces of the study was talking about education and training, and we have an EO and equal opportunity offices throughout the military. It'll be their responsibility to provide that training. I'm sure we will do it first class, 4-0, you know, top of the line training. And yes, you'll run into trouble. I ran into trouble when I was, or not trouble, but bumps in the road when I was implementing the Women in the Navy workshops, and I'll never forget this. You know, senior chief petty officers telling me, no, hell no, not on my watch do I want women aboard ship. But look where we are, you know, how many years later, 30, 40 years later, we're doing very well. And yes, we have problems as far as sexual assault on our women, and I'm not proud of that, and we need to do something about that. But as we know, we are all human beings, and that's included in the military, and so we just have to work with it, and I think the military will do it well, and it'll transform within the military. We will have some transformation of attitudes, and the prejudice will gradually lessen, and that too will happen in our nation, in our total country, and that will be a blessing for all of us.
And I thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on all these issues here revolving around Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I just have one more question for you. How do you think this victory on Don't Ask, Don't Tell may affect the struggle for equality for gay and lesbian Americans in other areas of our nation's life, such as the right to marry? Do you think there'll be some positive fallout from this?
I believe there will be, but I don't think we should immediately tie everything together. Yes, I do think that equality is equality, and it is an attitude that we are one. But I do think that there are different issues within each, and the issue of same-sex marriage is a little different from repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell and giving gays in the military their equality. So I wouldn't jump to say that there's going to be either positive or hopefully it'll be positive, but it may be a neutral for a while. For instance, myself, I have gradually come around to the fact that it would be a wonderful thing to have same-sex marriage. I'm getting there, but I, due to my age and experience, I at first didn't think that would be such a wise thing for the moment to, you know, and I thought the gay community the activists could have waited on that, and of course I'm biased because I wanted them to work on repeal, don't ask, don't tell, but nonetheless, I think it's a matter of time, and we need to absorb all this, but we need to absorb, you know, what it means, same sex, and I think we're doing that throughout the country, aren't we? But I'd just be cautious as whether this is going to immediately have a positive effect. But I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong, because in the long haul, yes, that's what must come.
Well, Commander Coy, thanks so much for all you've done in this fight that is now won. And before we say goodnight, you might let our listeners know how they could, you know, get involved and learn more about the groups that you're working with. Anything else that would be of interest to listeners?
Well, thank you. Yes. I do come from the Service Members Legal Defense Network board, and I would urge them to look online for that site, Service Members Legal Defense Network, and there still will be work to be done, of course, both by gays and straight allies, and as I mentioned, I would urge them to Google We Are Family Too, just for their own satisfaction, to read some of those letters from 06s, you know, colonels and captains who are coming out and speaking their voice. I was just so proud of them, because it's hard, you know. When I first started doing this, it's not easy to speak your voice as a lesbian, but I've done it long enough now, so it's not as difficult. But the letters, for instance, were several of us wrote to our country, because that's what we are saying. We're writing to the American people and the government, and this is what needs to happen. So those are some of the thoughts. And I just also thank your senators and representatives, especially, if they voted yes. That's important. I'm speaking now as a political science professor. It's really important to participate and to let them know how you feel. I was so proud and to be able to say thank you, Senator Wyden, for all that you've done. It's very important.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who have been not too fond of the conduct of our independent senator, Senator Joseph Lieberman,
yes,
in Connecticut, could at least, in this fight, I know a lot of progressive folks were happy about his stand on this in a leadership role. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm personally going to write Senator Lieberman. He has done a stellar job as one of the top leaders here. And I know that he pulled in several senators to, he couldn't get his friend John McCain or Lindsey Graham, but
right.
He pulled in several senators, I know, and we need to thank him. Yes, I hope your audience will do so, your Connecticut residents.
Well, thanks again for sharing your thoughts on this victory, Commander Coy, and thanks again for spending time with us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me, Scott, and I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, best of luck.
Okay.
And I know, like you said, there's a lot more work to do. So,
thank you, Scott.
Good luck with that.
Take care. And hello to Connecticut.
All right. Hello back to you.
Okay. Right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Commander U.S. Navy retired Beth Coy commenting on her decades-long struggle to overcome the don't ask, don't tell. It was in effect for 17 years, I believe. But she's been out to change the U.S. military's outlook on their tolerance for people of different sexual orientation in the military for quite some time, and interesting to hear her own personal story.